Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
You're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, you can stream our show live weekdays at 9 and 11 a.m. Central. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Good morning, I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. Coming up, why psychiatrists and mental health counselors are in such short supply. But first, as Mayo Clinic expands the Destination Medical Center project, they'll be hiring a lot of people, many probably from outside the state. And if the new hires are married, the spouses or partners may have the challenge of finding work in the Rochester area. NPR's Catherine Richard has been talking to some of these trailing spouses, and she joins me in the studio. Hi, Kat. Good to have you here.
Hi, Carrie.
Even the term trailing spouse sounds like an afterthought, and that's what some of these people are finding, right?
Yeah, yeah. So what I'm talking about here are people who follow their spouses, and I should clarify to say it's not just spouses, it's their partner. Maybe they have no legal relationship to Rochester for a job at Mayo. Maybe they're training in residency, or maybe they've been offered a job on staff. But because the region's economy is so dependent on medicine and relatively undiversified, these folks have had a hard time finding a job. These are lawyers, they're architects, they're marketing executives, they're people who are rising to the top of their field elsewhere, and they come here and their resume is something that isn't finding any interest.
So are they people who think, well, maybe I too will get a job at Mayo, or are many of them coming with different skills and then you're out in the job market and there just aren't that many openings there?
A little bit of both. I would say half of the folks I spoke with said, you know, I thought I would move to Rochester because I have a background in business consulting with a specialty in health technology. I felt like I was like a, you know, a no-brainer candidate for a job there. Others expected there might be a little bit of difficulty because they knew going into it that maybe their field wasn't nearly as robust in terms of hiring.
I heard your story this morning, and you made a point of saying that this is a real confidence breaker for a number of these people, again, who say high qualifications, years of education, and I get there and I can't find a job in my field, and I'm going for jobs that are somewhat underskilled to what I know how to do.
Right. There was a really human side to the story that I was actually most attracted to, I would say. These are people who had a work community before they moved to Rochester. So they're moving to a place where they probably don't really know anyone to begin with. On top of that, they are feeling like something is wrong with them, whereas before,
I mean,
they were
a natural feeling.
Yeah, isolating, discouraging, demoralizing. These are all words that people use to describe their job search in Rochester.
So I heard your interview with Mary, how do you pronounce it?
Marianne Matveyenko.
Okay.
Yes.
So she's a good example of this. Highly educated back and had a great job at the University of California, right?
Southern California,
okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Southern Cal. Biologist?
Yes, PhD.
Okay. So what happens to her when she follows her physician husband to come to Mayo? What's the story? What ends up happening?
Well, she said she never really anticipated having a problem finding a job in Rochester, although her area of expertise was more academic, and she knew that the institutions of higher education in Rochester were smaller than, say, in the Twin Cities or in LA where she came from. But she said there were very few networking opportunities. A lot of the networking was around child rearing, not career building,
wow,
which she found disappointing.
Yeah.
And she does have two small children, so she's certainly very interested in parenting. And she said within 6 months, she kind of realized that things were not going to pan out for her. She applied to jobs at Mayo. She never really got a response after she submitted applications to their HR website. And it was finally through a friend in a fitness class that she was teaching at the local gym that she, after several years, landed a part-time teaching job at the local community college.
So she really likes, right?
She really likes
that in the story.
She stressed to me that she really likes it, and she really likes Rochester as a community. You know, so this was a struggle for her family because on one hand, they're happy to be there. On the other hand, she's struggling because she hasn't found work that she finds inspiring until she got this job. And she just told me she felt really lucky. She doesn't think her story is, she thinks it's unique.
She's also given some thought to how sexism may be playing a role in this, which is this concept of the man comes in, he's the breadwinner, hey, he's all set up, and no real thought given to the career ambitions for, again, the spouse or the partner.
Right. She made that point in our discussion, and I thought it was a really interesting one that speaks to something broader going on here that really isn't unique to Mayo necessarily. You have a medicine which has been predominantly dominated by men for many, many decades. Of course, that is changing, and Mayo is hiring lots of really great female physicians as well as male physicians. But I think the sense was that for so many years, because this is a company town, there just wasn't much thought put into what a spouse might like to do. What was really interesting to me, and probably the most surprising part of reporting this story, was talking to men about this. I would say I spoke, 50-50 men, women. And the men I talked to said, no one would bat an eye if a, PhD female spouse decided to stay home and take care of their kids for a few years. That would seem totally normal in this community. But I'm really accomplished. I'm in the same boat. And people think it's weird if I'm staying at home with my kids.
Right. So didn't Marianne talk to you about this idea of old perceptions of gender kind of exacerbating
that? Yes, she did. Yes, she did.
Let's listen to what she said.
But when I got here, the networking was mostly for kids. People tell you about the schools and they tell you about, the museums and the best places to go to the pool and everything else. But it's not a whole lot of, there's no network. There's networks for moms, but there's no networks for, at least in my case, women who wanted to work. I do think there's kind of a patriarchal, twist to Rochester, I'll say. I don't think that they look at women and say, oh, you would want to work. You're an educated woman. You spent 30 years of your life in school. Hey, maybe she does want to work. I didn't feel any of that at all. And I had mentors, male mentors in graduate school and before, who always pushed me hard. And they never treated me any different than men or anything else. But since I've moved here, no, I've certainly been talked down to, for sure.
Oh, wow. This is something it sounds like Mayo is going to have to think about, given you said 30,000 jobs overall for the DMC.
Right. And that's not just at Mayo. That is in the region generally.
Okay.
So a few points there. I definitely think Mayo officials and business leaders and DMC leaders in Rochester are thinking about this. And here's why. The economy down there is undiversified. You have Mayo as the predominant employer, but there's also a lot of effort being put into what they call Discovery Square down there. This is going to be an urban tech park where they're attracting startups and entrepreneurs who will work with Mayo researchers and clinicians to come up with great ideas in medicine. I think a lot is riding on the success of that. Mm-hmm. And the idea being that if you can get those businesses to open up an office in Rochester, get those businesses started, they're going to need lawyers. They're going to need business consultants. They're going to need experts in marketing. I just don't think we're there yet. Discovery Square, that one first building in this region of downtown, isn't even open yet. And the primary tenant there is going to be Mayo and University of Minnesota Rochester.
I mean, it's also a new role, let's be fair, for Mayo too, to have to think about not just what they do so well,
right,
but how they fit into this larger building community.
Right. But I think if they want to meet the goal of attracting and retaining, that's the key word, top talent, they're going to have to think not just about the person they're hiring, but everything that comes with it, the spouse, the children, et cetera.
You emphasized retaining. Like, that has that been an issue for Mayo and continues to be?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, in my personal experience, having lived down there, we've seen a lot of people leave, not just for this reason, but for other reasons, or maybe there just was not a job open at Mayo for them at the time. But I do think that if they want to grow the workforce in the same way that they're talking about, they're going to have to keep people from leaving the region for other areas.
NPR's Kat Richard reporting on trailing spouses at Mayo. Hey, you're also going to be sitting in on this show next week. Tuesday, and
big
Wednesday.
Big shoes to fill.
I am thrilled you're going to do that. And thanks. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Carrie.
This was a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. To add your voice to our discussion, you can call in at 800-242-2828 or tweet Carrie at @KERRINPR. And if you miss us live, you'll find all of our shows by subscribing to this podcast. If you have questions, you can email us at talk@npr.org.